I'd like to add my welcome to everyone. Hopefully you had a good afternoon. It's such a privilege that we have to assemble, to worship God. Let's never take that for granted, to come to encourage one another in this dark and sinful world, and praise God for that. Several have asked about Diane. As Brian mentioned in his prayer, she is home, and I appreciate the prayers for her surgery. It's amazing that you can have appendicitis and go in and have it removed and be home with less than 24 hours. And what a blessing and what a great thing. We just take those things for granted. And I was thinking there's probably been people over the years that have appendicitis and they couldn't get to a hospital and they just, maybe it burst and they died. You ever think about that? So what a blessing that we have in this country and that we have these type of discoveries. And that kind of segues into my sermon tonight. You know, from a secular standpoint, there's a lot of things that we could look at and appreciate. For instance, the discovery of electricity. I kind of have a favor of that since that's my occupation. But you can go on the internet. When I was preparing some of these slides, I just kind of had to back out. I was so interested, you know, who actually discovered electricity and things of that nature. And that's not my point, but it's something we really appreciate, and it's something we use every day that we may not even think about. When you wake up in the morning, you turn your light switch on, you think back to all the work that went into that electricity getting to your house so that the lights can work in here. It's such a wonderful thing, just that element, where it started and where it's become today. What about some other discoveries or inventions? How about the telephone? Now, some might say, what would we do without the telephone? And some days I want to do without the telephone. I mean, really, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me this past year was when I went to Malawi and I was unplugged. And I didn't have TV or telephone, electricity, nothing. So you really appreciate what you have, but then sometimes you realize that they can be a burden too, right? So even from the very beginning of time that this was discovered, this primitive type setup here, and now what we have over here today. Now I know Ken, he's really eyeballing that iPhone. He likes technology and stuff like that. So what a wonderful thing. These are things that we use, you know, every day. A lot of us, and maybe we just don't have an appreciation for them. When you don't have electricity and your telephone's not working and you need it, or you're broke down on the side of the road and you can use it, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. There's a lot of things like this in our life that sometimes it's a blessing and we're thankful to God. I mean, let's just tell it what it is. God gave man the mind to discover these things. Now, man can't boast that I'm this great person and all that. I forget who it was said about. I don't know if it was Edison or Franklin or somebody that had several inventions. And they said that, you know, they talked to him about how great it was to invent these things. And he said, you know how many times I had to fail in order to discover or invent something? So there's a lesson in that itself. But just look at these things. This is great. Discovery of the telephone. Discovery of electricity. How about just everyday things that we use all the time? How about just plumbing and running water in a bathroom? I mean, you ever think about that? Go do some research about when that all started. And even getting water to your house. I was talking to this Billy out, one of the preachers we support, about his house, and he just got electricity not too long ago, and he just got a water tap. But he's just so excited that they don't have to walk 3 miles with some buckets, get the water, and come back. What a time saving. It's a lot of time savings for us as well. How about just air conditioning and cooling? You know, sometimes we come to the building, it's a little cool in here. Or maybe it's a little warm. And some, oh, it's kind of I'm thinking, well, what if we didn't have heat or cooling at all? We do, and what a privilege we have. And I just thought of some other things. What about the bicycle? You know, I think of these things now because of Malawi. This is a major mode of transportation over there. Most of the preachers we support ride bicycles or walk or spend their own money on a minibus, but it's so expensive. And they'll just get up on a Sunday morning and ride for miles to go where they're going to preach. How about our automobile? What a discovery or invention, however you want to look at it. How about the train? You ever do any history about the train? We still use trains today to haul most of the goods across America. What a blessing, what a privilege, what an opportunity to something that's used every day. What about the airplane, the travel, the time savings that it comes with that? And we look at those things and we think, wow, you know, we use those things every day. What a blessing. And there's no doubt that you used your running water today and you didn't even probably think about it. But it was there, it was available, and you used it. What a great thing. Well, what else? Somebody might say, well, Rob, what's your point? Well, I got a point. It's coming. Okay? You can try to guess what it is. But how about just the printing press? Now, when it comes to the Bible, the printing press was a great thing. To be able to no longer, you know, have the scrolls and have the Bible read to you, it's able to print. And I think we've been talking about how that the church here has bought a copier so that in Malawi, and I talked to them, they finally got, getting the money over there is one thing, now getting the copier, and Alan might have more updates on that, but what a great thing to have a copier, to make a Bible, to be able to print off things, to hand out things to other people. Or just, what about the computer? You know, research back, now I think this is like a computer, it could be a phone, but I think it, when I found that picture, it was an old computer, like the beginning of computers, you know. And you could just study that. Ken could probably tell us the whole history of when computers began and what they were and where they're at today. And you think, wow, that's, you know, when you look back, these people were, I mean, when they made this, they were just so happy, a computer. Well, now, I mean, now we got our own printing press in our house to make copies. I made slides tonight, just, you know, hey, what a great thing. And then we got computers, you know, in our offices or our home. I mean, these aren't like you just seen. I mean, what a great thing, these discoveries or inventions that God gave man the mind to create these things, to discover these things, to invent these things. And it makes things so much more of use. Now, we're not going to get into this, but these kind of things, computers and whatever, are abused as well. But as we just looked at those slides of just different things, just a few things that I thought of, not even an exhaustive list by no means, we use these things every day. Now, we may not fly every day, but you know what I'm saying. Certain things all the time, what a great thing. And makes life a whole lot easier, gives us more time so we can waste more time, right? That's kind of what I look at. Sometimes I think I've got more time now than I ever had because of all these inventions, but then I have less time maybe to be doing those things that I should be doing. But if you were to add up everything that I've shown this evening and add up through time, whether it's world history, United States history, whatever history, all the discoveries, all the inventions, things we use every day, they would not pale in comparison to something that we have access to that we probably don't use as we should. And that's the use of the scriptures. Now we get up every morning, we brush our teeth, we run the water, we use the electricity, we get in the car, we use the computer, just... You can make a timeline or a story of all the things we just looked at tonight. But all of those things we could do without. There's people in the world that do without those things. But do we use the running water? Yeah, but how about do we use the scriptures? Use of the scriptures. And think about in your own life. Now let's just go back a week, maybe even 2 days, however far back you want to think about. Did you use the scriptures in your life? Some of you might say, well, yeah, I did. Now, there's no doubt we do use them. But could we get more use out of them than we currently have? You'll have to examine yourself and say to yourself, am I using the scriptures? Am I letting them help me? Just like these great discoveries that we've looked at. Now, the Bible warns us, teaches us, explains to us how important the scriptures are. And there's not going to be one verse tonight that I'm going to bring up here that you don't haven't already known or read before. But I want you to look at it from the standpoint of using the scriptures. Using the scriptures. You know, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29, Jesus said, and you can go into the context, his followers were asking some pretty silly questions, and Jesus just came out in verse 29 and said, answered and said to them, you do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Now I want you to focus on the power of God, because that is what gives us God's thoughts, his mind, how almighty he is, and what he wants us to do with the scriptures. Verses we know, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We all know this. And as we focus on verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, what? Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, this takes faith. This takes belief, because we're not going to use the scriptures if we don't have faith and believe in them, that what God says is correct and it works, and that we're thoroughly furnished. You know, when you look at the scriptures, for instance, like Jude chapter 3, that we were once delivered, you know, we have the complete will of God. We don't need these latter-day revelations. We don't need somebody came out and says, oh, this is some words from God. No, we have the complete word. We have it all. We have it in its complete, in its totality, what God wants us to know. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures. Patient and comfort of the scriptures. Have the scriptures ever comforted you? It says it does. Comfort of the scriptures. Might have hope. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of souls and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of what? The thoughts and intents of the heart. God wants his word in our minds. He wants his word in our thoughts. The word of God can judge us, the thoughts and intents of our heart, if we read it and understand it and apply it, and we use it. If we don't, then it's like having a faucet at home and never turning it on. Knowing you have hot water, knowing you have cool water, no, I'm just not going to use it today. Well, why not? Well, just ornery, don't want to do it. No. You know, this whole thought about having God's word on our mind all the time, knowing the scriptures, is something that's taught throughout the scriptures. We read Romans 15:4. As we look at the Old Testament, if you will, the Old Covenant, this jumps out at me. We see how God, from the very beginning, dealt with man. Adam and Eve, he told them what to do. They knew what to do. And what happened? They didn't do it. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse we're all familiar with. One of my favorite verses, just when it applies to the scriptures. Therefore shall you lay up these my words, where? In your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And what else? How important is this? And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, and the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon them." These words in your heart and in your soul. And what does that mean? Well, we're going to list a few examples. But this puts a premium, number one, on each and every one of our individual responsibility to know. I can't know for you, you can't know for me. It's impossible. My knowledge of the scriptures is separate from your knowledge of the scriptures. If you're older, you may have a whole lot more knowledge. You've been studying the Bible a whole lot more longer than I have been. But each one of us individually is responsible for this. And as we kind of start moving towards, okay, knowing the word, then let me show you this verse. And this is how practical the use of the scriptures would be in our daily life. Here's a verse we're all familiar with. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest," and we'll talk about that verse in a minute, "whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," what? Use the scriptures. "Think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." Key word. "And the God of peace," what? "Shall be with you." Think on these things. Now, in your daily walks of life, just as we use the modern inventions today, do we use the scriptures? Whatsoever things are true, what does that mean, Ron? Whatsoever things are honest, are just, who defines these things? Now, if you were to ask the world what this verse means, and these things that we're to do, because it says to do them, right? It doesn't say just think on them and not do, it says to do them. The use of the scriptures, we would hear all kinds of things. All kinds of things. This whole idea about honesty. You talk to people at work about different things, or something comes up, and are they really honest about it? They might say, yeah, you know, it's not completely honest, but it's a large part honest, okay? How about when I do my taxes every year? Yeah, you know, just turn it in. If they catch me, I'll pay the fine. Wait a minute. It says whatever things are honest. When you have God's word in your heart, on your mind, in your life, and we use it every day, these things become easier. Because it's a blessing that we have. And often I think, am I using the scriptures like I should? Again, it starts out with knowing them. It starts out about having the knowledge and wisdom from God's word. But then I say to myself, am I using them? God knows if we are or we're not. And we may be put in situations where we can say, I don't know if I'm using them or not, you know. Use of the scriptures. Very important. Very important. It's so important that in lies our salvation, in lies it our relationship with God, in lies it whether we're pleasing to Him, and in lies it whether or not we care to even be pleasing to God. And on top of all that, how much easier our life can be when we understand God's will and Him communicating to us and telling us when we're in certain situations, and we're going to look at a few tonight, did we refer to the scriptures and what the answer was to handle those kind of things? Again, there's so much premium put on the word. And whether it's me or Alan or any Bible student, that's the emphasis here at Holly Street, is the scriptures. It's put on the scriptures. It's not put on, you know, I'm going to stand up here for 20 minutes and never mention the scriptures. You don't want to hear that. No, you want to hear scriptures, because that's really the truth. That's God's way versus man's way. Well, Romans 10:17, how important is it? That faith cometh by God's word, by hearing, by doing the will of God. That's how we have faith. And you might say, I just don't have enough faith, Rob. Well, then you don't have enough studying of God's word. You don't have enough belief in what He says. It's something that's so paramount and so important in our life, when we're using God's scriptures, this is how he communicates to us. This is how he wants to help us. It's not done through osmosis. It's not done through you open a book and you may read something that man wrote and thought, the secret of life. No, it's not like that. God is not doesn't do things like that. He puts things right out for us. Now, I had mentioned earlier about honesty. This verse is kind of a twofold, and the reason I brought this out, for instance, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, so it's twofold. It's not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And when we speak and we do things every day, we're doing it in the sight of God, and we're doing it in the sight of men. And so that makes it ultimately very important that we know what his will is. Knowing others are going to see, hey, what kind of Christian is this person? And again, we come back to honest things. Who defines that? As we look at the scriptures, what is honesty? We can learn what these things are from the scriptures and how to be right and true in all things that we do. But this whole ideal, and I'm going to go over a few examples, but my main point I want to drive right now is that when you have God's word in your heart, in your soul, and you know what to do, you're going to be faced every day of your life opportunities to do or not do his will. It doesn't matter. You might say, you know, Rob, I'm retired and I'm at home and I don't get out much. Do you know, and I'll speak of those that are retired, there's great temptations when you're retired. How about what you do with your time? How about just all kinds of other doors that are open when you're retired? You might have more time. It doesn't matter what walk of life you're in. There's going to be opportunities every time to use the scriptures, because even retired people, even non-retired people, people that go to work, people that might interact with a lot more people, there's difficulties to overcome, and we can use these things. Now, when God's word is on our hearts and our minds, and we've all been in this situation before, in this next verse I'm going to look at, you remember what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 20, verse 9? Then I said, I will not make mention of him. Now, have you ever said to yourself, I'm not going to mention him? We've all been there. We've all had opportunities. You wish you could go back and, man, I wish I would have said something at this given time. Here's a perfect opportunity. I'm sure every one of us have stories of failure, stories of opportunities we could have done. Here's a prophet of God. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. He's telling it. This is his thoughts. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. The word was in his heart, was in his soul as a burning fire. He knew the will of God. And I would say that every one of us, not every day maybe, but that we can think back, that there was an opportunity, whether we said something or whether we did something. And this passage has come to mind. And you say to yourself, I know what to do. I know what to say. And I got to do it because I know God's will. And he'll help me get through these things. We see this throughout the scriptures. And just another example, one of the apostles in Acts chapter 4. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. We know the situation. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot, what, but speak the things which we have seen and heard. It was in their heart. It was in their soul. They were using the scriptures. And they remembered the words of the Lord. And they remembered to have courage to go out there and preach God's word, no matter what the consequences might be. And it was a very good thing that even went from there. But they didn't know. And that's what's difficult about life sometimes. We just do without knowing. There may be consequences that we'll have to suffer for whatever reason. We don't know. But we know the scriptures and we have faith in God and we just do what the scriptures teach us. We use the scriptures in our daily walks of life. What a beautiful thing. We can use these scriptures to help us in difficult times, to comfort us, to get us through the difficulties in this life. And if we all think back to maybe some mistakes that we've made in our life, what was it? Now, we probably knew what the scriptures said, or we ignored what it said, or we didn't even care what it said. And then we do things that are contrary to God's word, and we suffer the consequences. Because we refuse, just like every example, Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve, those mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, they were faced with the opportunity to have faith in God and what he said. And these are difficult things. Can you imagine Noah when he was commanded to do what he did? And for 120 years built this ark? Think about that, for 120 years. I'm thinking to myself, that's a building project right there. And preaching righteousness. And because God told him to do it, you know what? He just did it. And look at all the other examples in the scriptures. But what about you? What about me? Do we use the scriptures? Tomorrow, when you're faced with something in life, whatever the situation is, a decision of some kind, do we think, for instance, of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that seek ye first the kingdom of God? Do we have priorities in life and say, this is what needs to be done? This is the order. This is the priority. Well, what's a few things? Well, here's a list of a few things that when we read the scriptures. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and there be any other commandments that it is briefly comprehended in the saving, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. By the way, this is in the New Testament. So these things, those are all Old Testament stuff, Rob. No, other than one commandment, this is it. These are things that killing somebody has always been wrong. It's not, well, it was just under the old law. These are things that we run into on a daily basis that we see others, and maybe we don't have these exact same things, but you might, about stealing and coveting and things of that nature. We have to use God's word in our daily walks of life. Well, what's a few other things? Just listed a few. How about anger? Now think back the last time you got angry. And now, of course, all anger isn't wrong. You know, the scriptures tell us that be angry and sin not. We can see examples, even Jesus himself being angry. But more than likely, a lot of our anger is we're not using the scriptures. And somebody says, well, how can I control anger, Rob? Well, I could preach a whole lesson just on anger and what the scriptures talk about. And use the scriptures in our daily walks of life. Because sometimes things that we're getting angry about, as they say, don't amount to a hill of beans. Maybe it's selfishness on our part. Maybe we didn't get our way, and so we're angry about it. How about the tongue? Just occasionally open up James chapter 3 when you're having issues with the tongue. First of all, realize that you're never going to tame the tongue. It says it there. Somebody says, Rob, I've tamed my tongue. Well, then you're contradicting what the scriptures say, because the scripture says it cannot be tamed. Cannot. Read James chapter 3. It's a fire. We got to watch it. We got to watch it. How about just humility? Contentment? Oh, we live in America. We have so much. Are we really content with the things that we have? Or is it every waking hour of the day, we cannot wait to get more, have a bigger house, a bigger home, a bigger car, a bigger this? I'm never content with what I have. It could be material things. It could be other things. We use the scriptures to help us in these areas. How about evangelism? We mentioned that when we talk about Jeremiah, when he said, I could not speak as we have opportunities, and they're less and less. I understand that. A lot of people aren't interested. It doesn't matter. I don't want to be in judgment and have somebody say, Rob, you never mentioned him to me. I don't want to hear those words. I let the Word of God discern the Spirit, decide for these people. They can read it. Here's what it says. If you want to be a Christian, I'm here to help. I'm willing to study. Those kind of things. But do we use the Scriptures, even in opportunities of evangelism? How about just treatment of others? Somebody says, well, how do you really learn what the treatment? Just read the Scriptures. Use the Scriptures. It'll define these. And every one of these could be, we could expand on these topics. Helping others. Or one very important one, our relationship to God. How do we know what our relationship with God is if we never use the Scriptures? And how can we have the great blessing of the Scriptures if we never use them? Again, it's like the modern inventions. It's like having a train or a bicycle and a plane to get you somewhere, and you decide, I'm just going to walk. Well, that's fine too, but maybe we could use our time a little better and get there a lot quicker. Are we serious about those things? How about Hebrews 13? Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. But here's the part of the verse I wanted to look at. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Sometimes when there's difficulties at work, difficulties with your neighbor, difficulties with ever, anybody, I say, I got God on my side. I'm going to do what he says, because he says he's going to be there. If I'm faithful, he will never leave me nor forsake me. He's done his part. God has done his part. Rest assured. And each and every one of us can use the Scriptures, and we can use the words from the Scriptures to comfort us. Isn't that comforting? We can pillow our head at night. We can wake in the morning, not with arrogance, but come to him and say, the Lord is my helper. He's going to help me. What about prayer as this relates to using the Scriptures? For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The perfect example. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help, what? In time of need. In the good times and the bad times, we can go to God in prayer. But this is also speaking about using the Scriptures. Using the Scriptures. Now, what about you? What about you? Only you can make an assessment and say to yourself, am I using the Scriptures like I should? Are the Scriptures on my mind? Are they in my thoughts? Because it's going to help regulate me, but it's also going to help me through the difficulties in this life. Because it's the instruction manual, if you will. How can I do... I've got this problem. How am I going to solve it? Well, let's look at the Scriptures have to say. Sometimes the Scriptures also say we just have to leave things up to God. And just, it's in his hands. We pray about it. Father, if it be your will, this or that, whatever the case may be. So as we kind of review, we looked at all the great discoveries and inventions, the ones that mean a lot to you, that you look at and think, wow, what a great thing to have. And what a great thing to use. What a great opportunity in this country. But not only here, not only worldwide, not only through the very beginning of time. One of the greatest things that's never used is the Scriptures. We don't think about them. We don't apply them when our problem comes up. We think about man's ways and God's ways. And we think, you know what? this way over here, it's a whole lot better. I'm gonna just do it like this. And then we come to find out that if I had just stuck to the scriptures, it would have been a whole lot easier. What about you tonight? Hopefully this has been an encouraging sermon. Hopefully we can look to God's word for everything in our life and help guide us and help provide those things. Don't do what the world does. The world looks at the scriptures just enough to say, you know what, I'm saved, I believe in the grace and mercy of God, and thank you, God, and now I can go on to do nothing, do my own way. Don't let that cross into our mind. It's very easy when you live in a society that thinks that way and purports that way. A lot of times we can become that in our daily walks of life. But don't let that happen. That's what's different between us and the world as Christians, as followers of God. Somebody might say, how did you get through that difficulty? You know what? God helped me through His Word. How did you avoid doing this and doing that? Well, the best I can, using God's Word. We can avoid a lot of things. And that don't mean we don't have difficulties, but it does mean when we do have difficulties, if we use the Scriptures, God will help us get through those. As we extend the invitation tonight, there may be one that needs to obey the initial commands to salvation, hear, believe, repent, confess, and live a faithful life to God, or you might be a Christian in need of the prayers of the congregation. Whatever the case may be, you may come now as we stand and sing.